720 WGN. John Hanson here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. So thrilled to be joined by Elise Glink, who you all know and love. And of course, Tom Fortino joining in the studio in two. Guys, thanks for hopping on in today.
So fun to be here with you in person.
Yeah, Tom, it's good to meet you officially.
It's nice to meet you, too.
Nice to hear your name. We've talked before on the phone, never in person, though. And I'm excited because, you know, you guys are on This Week in Wealth every Sunday at 6:30 a.m. And you pack a lot into that half hour, but things are changing. You're going to have a little more room to breathe.
Yes, this past Sunday was our last 6:30. Now we get to get up at 7 a.m.
That extra half hour, baby.
I tell you, at our age, definitely.
Does he still show up in a suit like this?
We don't discuss things like that. And you know how. Do you want me to tell people how you're dressed today?
Wow, I'm wearing at least khakis and a hoodie. Yeah, wow.
It's radio. We like to leave it into people's imaginations.
I actually thought, I'm like, wow, this is actually a little better than I wore normally. I guess not so much. I mean, let's just jump right in. The markets the last few days, going back into last week, you know, we get a pretty okay inflation number. You feel a good rally. And then, Thursday, Friday, the Fed does some talking. And people are nervous right now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think people are nervous. Tom, I know that you watch the market so carefully for your clients. I, you know, take that armchair economist view. But to me, it feels like, you know, the Fed gave all the indications that they're going to keep raising rates. And everybody, meanwhile, was like, oh, they're going to stop, right?
Yeah, I think there's this back and forth of what's going to happen. But, you know, when Powell came out, he was hawkish. I mean, he's like, I'm sticking to the guns. I don't care. I'm, you know, so he was very committed. And then retail sales came out and they were down. It's like, you know, it's unfortunate. And this week it's going to be a lot of housing data is coming out. And so I feel bad for the average investor in a sense that because this up and down, this yo-yo effect, we're waiting for data and then the next shoe drops and this, it's really tough. So it's, I guess the takeaway from a lot of this is we got to stay the course. We got to stay committed. We can't just let these 1 week or these 2 week or whatever it may be, these short-term things dictate our overall plan.
Right. I feel like this playbook has played out a couple times this year where you get an okay inflation data. Now we got two pretty good ones in a row. Mm-hmm. People get excited, but you know, it's almost like it's, and it is, Powell's job to give the medicine. No one likes to take it, but it just feels like every time people just try to take like a sliver of positivity and run on it without listening to the whole hour speech. And then this time around, they're listening.
Yeah, I agree. There is this, they're hanging on to that. And I think a lot of that, why you see this market continue to try to rally, and then to drop back again. So I do agree completely with what you're saying there. And so we're going to see what ultimately happens. But
yeah, I think there's some risks that, you know, they see that we don't see, right? Mm-hmm. And the bond market, you know, bond traders are going to do what they do, but they also don't see the data. He's looking at data we don't have access to yet, and they're looking around the world at risks that exist. We've still got a really bad war in Ukraine. It's taking up a huge amount of time and resources and really people
Right.
I mean, it's just going on and on. You have to start wondering whether they're going to be able to plant in the spring.
Right.
Right. They got some stuff planted in the middle of the night is how they planted some of their stuff this year under heavy guard.
Barely got it out through the Black Sea. So we'll
barely
have to
got it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now, you know, Ukraine says they're going to try and take back Crimea. Okay. Well, that's, you know, these are risks that they really are waterfall to all the rest of the global economy. And I think that when you look at risks, that's just one.
China.
We've still got a lot out there. So, you know, John and Tom, I think, you know, we all agree that there are some hidden things going on that could keep inflation higher. And you're right, Tom, the Fed is going to hammer it down.
Yeah, I mean, that's their goal. We have to keep in mind they have that 2% inflation rate. That's their goal. They're not supposed to be looking at the market. I don't know. There's arguments on both sides, but, you know, that's where they're going to try to get to.
I think what they're really waiting for is seeing that labor market soften a little bit. And it's almost the same thing. There's a one report that comes out and starts to show, maybe some extra layoffs are coming, which, of course, is not good for those individuals. But we're talking about the overall speed and strength of the economy. But, boy, oh, boy, the last jobless claims we got last week, it's just showing. You don't see that run-up that a lot of people are, I hate to say it like this, hoping for.
Yeah, this is a very unusual recession we're heading into, right? Normally in a recession, you've got interest rates go up and then everything else softens and people get laid off and there are no jobs for them to get for a while. So we've got social, you know, services and things. Now we've got still two jobs for every person looking. Yes, 4,000 get laid off here and 20,000 get laid off here, but there's plenty of room to absorb those people. So we absorb them. They still have jobs. They're still out there buying. So the economy doesn't really soften quite the way it would in a normal recession. We always say this, don't we, Tom? Every recession's a new recession. And then we describe it by saying, well, it's not quite like it was back in 81, and it's not quite like it was in 78, but, you know, and here
we
are.
That's the way it is, for sure. I got a text from the 630. Why would anyone believe in anything the Fed chairman has to say? It's his fault that we have such high inflation. Now, you could certainly make the argument that they waited too long to start raising interest rates, but I think it's important to remind listeners that while the Fed chairman plays a role in the policies that's happening, the Fed chairman doesn't control inflation in the UK, which is much higher than in the United States, in some South American countries, which are at 30% or so. I don't think it's fair to put inflation on the Fed chairman's doorstep.
I don't think Powell actually invaded Ukraine the last right. I checked. That was somebody else. So,
but I do see people's skepticism worrying about what they say coming true, but I think he's an honest broker who's trying to be transparent.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot going on that we don't know, right? So I understand people looking from the outside in, you know, just the way that we look from the outside in, and we say, wow, could he have moved sooner? Maybe. But all the, you know, 1,000 points of information that the Fed as a whole, and they have hundreds and hundreds of people, each of the Federal Reserves around the country have hundreds and hundreds of employees, and they're all doing something.
Right, right? For sure.
They're all looking at data, small data, big data, you know, international data. All of that kind of comes into play when they're trying to decide what to do. And I think it's easy in hindsight to say, boy, we shoulda, coulda, maybe, whatever.
Right.
And then it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, exactly. We got to take a quick break. More with Elise Glinth, the owner of ThinkLink Media, Best Money Moves, and Tom Fortino, the founder and principal at Alpha Wealth Group. Of course, the hosts of This Week in Wealth, now at 7 a.m. on Sundays. More about that. We were kind of chatting in the break about people's appetite for financial news. And, you know, we're so tuned in nowadays. And, you know, we've seen this democratization of the stock market and chats about it. I think the more people interested in that stuff, Tom, and Elise, I imagine you'd agree too, the better, right? Start taking ownership a little bit about where your finances are and where you can go from here.
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to be the difference between success.
Is that someone's phone ring? Oh, that's Elise. I started hearing some country music playing in the background. Elise, what is that?
I can't discuss it. I have my phone on mute completely because we're, of course, live on the radio.
Oh, it's still playing. There we go. Where were we, Tom? It's okay, Elise.
Well, I think we were talking about, John, what you're saying is people to get informed. I think it's kind of a blessing and a curse. We have all this information that we're just kind of overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
But if this isn't rocket science. If we can really kind of just learn the nuts and bolts and get engaged, I think the first step in anything, like we were just talking about how you were saying, hey, I'm looking at laddering these two-year treasuries or whatever it was. You know, that's the first step in anything. And so as you start to get involved and understand the rules, just take that first step and start getting involved.
And I also think it's important that baby steps not be discounted.
Yeah.
Right? It's really important. And one of the things that you were telling us, not to get too personal on air with what we talk about off air, but what I really love is that you've taken some, you know, baby steps over this last year. You've talked on air about how you bought a house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the first surprise for people is how expensive owning a house is.
Oh boy, isn't it? Yes,
and
indeed.
But you're still, you know, and it takes up a lot of your available cash and you're using it to decorate or you're paying your taxes or whatever it is you're doing with it, the mortgage. But then all of a sudden you start to reaccumulate some cash in your account and it's like, okay, I bought the house, so now what do I do? And those next steps that you've been doing, whether they're buying laddering bonds is a really actually sophisticated strategy.
Yeah, wow, I agree.
And
thank you guys.
You're doing that, you know, you're investing in some of the ETF, you know, exchange traded funds. Yeah. Not everybody realizes why that's a benefit to do. You know, what you start to see is after a couple of years of this, it's like, oh, now I actually have something to protect. I have something that's grown. And I think people are like, well, if I can't invest in crypto today, what's the point? But you are the point, John, because It's just how it all grows for everybody.
It's from experts like you all, and I think that it's an important thing. It is a word of caution, though, Tom, like you're right. It can be too much information for people at times, especially for a long-term investor. And that includes people who are retiring today. You are still a long-term investor in many ways. I know that it's hard to see that money maybe start to go in the opposite direction, whether it's because of a downturn in the market or you're starting to take cash out of your retirement because you're required to. That can be a psychologically draining thing for someone. But if you have a runway, it's important not to get too into the weeds on every single day, the ups and the downs, right? Dollar cost averaging, which is probably the simple strategy to follow, sometimes is the best thing. So sometimes it's about plugging in the right amount and not plugging in too much.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that. You can look at one of the worst periods from 2000 to 2012. The S&P was actually the same value in 2012 it was in 2000. But if you were dollar cost averaging over that time, and this study's been done, I think Burton Melkiel did this, and he said that had you been dollar cost averaging into a 401k plan, into any type of retirement plan, you would have actually averaged over 5% a year in a year the market was flat over 12 years. So you can see how impactful that can be. And that's why we said before, John, about sticking to a plan and being committed to it, it's going to make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And we talk about this all the time on our Sunday show. Having a plan, whatever that plan is, sticking to that plan, whether you know times are good, times are bad, the stock market's up. Just in the time we've been doing our show, Tom, I'm thinking about how the stock market has fluctuated. It really has been quite roller coaster-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now near the bottom of that cycle. But if you look back over 5 years, we're still way up from where we were. But you forget as you go day by day. And if you're day trading, which we never think you should be doing.
No.
So, but you have to take that longer view of I'm just going to keep following the plan little by little. I'm going to get where I want to go.
Yeah. Can I just say that Your Money Matters started at the beginning of February, so you can all blame me, because that's when we were at the top. Since we started our show, it's nice you guys got some ups before the downs, huh? No, we mentioned dollar cost averaging and something we try and do on all these programs at WGN has explained. We said it. I hope it didn't go over people's heads. Tom, in 20 to 30 seconds, can you explain dollar cost averaging to someone if they heard that and they're wondering, what are we talking about? What is it?
Well, the idea is you're systematically putting money in, whether it's every couple weeks, every month, but you're doing it continuously over a long period of time. So it's averaging because you're not trying to time the market. You're putting in when the market could be high, you're putting in when it's low, and it averages those peaks and valleys. That's dollar cost averaging.
21 seconds, pretty good.
Wow.
And at least because if you try and time a market, one of the best pieces of advice I've heard, it may have been from you, Elise, is the idea of if you try and time a market, you got to time it twice. And that's really hard to do.
Hey, listen, don't time the market. Just set that aside. Follow your plan and know when you want to sell as well. I think that's the other part of it. My grandfather, his plan was when it doubles, sell half. And you know what? When he died, he left a very substantial estate just based on doing that.
All right. I learned it on the roulette wheel. If I was up a little bit, put a little in the thing, and when you walk away, you're good. Maybe not the best analysis for a plan.
Or red or double zero guy. We'll
black,
have that conversation
17,
in the next commercial.
There we go. 7 a.m. Sundays, This Week in Wealth, Elise Glink, Tom Fortino. It's great to catch up with you guys.
Great
okay?
to meet
you, too, John.
For sure. Tom Fortino, of course, founder and principal Alpha Wealth Group. We'll be chatting with him on Your Money Matters throughout 2023 as well. And Elise Glink, Think Link Media. Well, we got Jim Dahlke on the line right now, national editor at American Inno, ChicagoInno.com. Jim, my friend, it's always good to catch up. How are you doing?
Hey, John, doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and boy, crypto is like the last place right now people seemingly want to be, although they haven't crashed down too much after this big FTX collapse. But you have an interesting story to tell us about three Ohio State dropouts coming to Chicago, launching a crypto startup.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think so much speculation right now is in the crypto space, especially with some high profile collapses, FTX being one of those. And I think one thing that lots of folks are asking, especially in Chicago and other kind of smaller startup ecosystems, is, hey, what does this mean for the companies that are building crypto startups here in town? But we're starting to see some signs that, hey, there's still some resiliency in the startup community when it comes to crypto. And one example is this startup called Coherence Finance. This is a startup led by a handful of Ohio State students. They built this in Columbus and raised some money actually from a high profile VC in the Midwest called Drive Capital. And basically what Coherence has done is kind of built a robo advisor for crypto investing. So really giving you some additional tools to help know exactly what to invest in and sort of be smart with your crypto money. And really,
a robo advisor?
Yeah, so basically what these guys have done is created more tools to help you, like me, for example, the average investor, to make smarter crypto investments. So rather than just sort of willy-nilly putting your money into a coin here, a crypto investment there, they're kind of giving you more tools to invest in smarter cryptocurrencies. And so, what they're really kind of doing is trying to make crypto investing a little bit more mainstream, so you're not just sort of scouring random forums and threads to determine where to invest your crypto money. And so they're really taking a long tail approach to crypto, believing that, hey, we're in a bit of a downturn right now, but there's a future where crypto investing continues to be more mainstream, and hey, we need more tools to help invest. And so what's interesting here about Coherence Finance, this is a startup that built in Columbus, Ohio State. Students dropped out of school and hit the road to Chicago to set up their headquarters. So Chicago, still a very attractive destination for lots of folks building companies in the Midwest, including cryptocurrencies.
Okay. Now, Chicago startups have, they haven't had a great fundraising year in 2022, but there's a couple sectors where, they're doing okay. They're actually above some of the numbers we saw towards the start of the pandemic, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this on this program often throughout this year. Fundraising is down big time in 2022. But like you said, there is a sector that is seeing some bright spots. That's clean tech and clean energy. Those deal counts are close to or above what we saw back in 2020, 2021, kind of proving to be a bit of an outlier year. And some in Chicago really believe that the city is poised to become a leader in clean energy tech and sustainability heading into 2023. The carbon and emission tech vertical in particular experienced a really strong third quarter, its strongest ever on record, raising $4.8 billion globally, according to PitchBook. And there's a bunch of local folks in town, including Energize Ventures. They're a local Chicago-based venture firm that focuses on energy transition. They said they're on track to deploy about $240 million in 2022, which is about twice what the fund deployed last year in a record sort of boom year for startups across the country. So they really see a big opportunity here. And hey, clean tech is an area that a lot of new grads really want to get into as well. We're seeing a lot of energy, among Gen Z for getting into clean tech and clean energy. And so despite the downturn I think we're seeing in the tech industry broadly, the clean energy space seems to be a promising one.
All right. Let's pivot to talk about what's happening with our eyes, an AI-powered solution that detects eye disease. This is Ultras, right? And they got a big fundraiser on Wednesday.
Yeah, Ultras AI, really interesting new Chicago startup, raised $1 million last week. They have created an AI-powered solution that helps detect eye disease. So they essentially work with ophthalmologists, providing them software that kind of can help analyze scans, really specializing in finding those kind of rare diseases and hard-to-spot markers that an optometrist may miss on an eye scan. So, yeah, really impressive technology. I think you're seeing a lot of this in the health tech space. This is not the robots taking the jobs of doctors, right? This is a technology that doctors can use alongside traditional medicine and traditional, paths to discovering diseases. And so what Ultras AI really wants to do is kind of create, another tool in the tool set for ophthalmologists to determine if there may be a rare eye condition in one of their patients. So really interesting stuff from these guys. They're in more than 30 clinics now across the U.S.
Sorry to interrupt you. There is something, I don't know, maybe ironic's not the word, about AI being used to help your ophthalmologist see something.
I know, we really miss an opportunity to not spell it A-E-Y-E in the headline.
Yeah, there you go. All right, this one isn't up yet on the site, but it will be soon. The idea of unicorns in the business world, where did they go? First, tell us what a unicorn is.
Yeah, so a unicorn in startup vernacular was created as a term to describe a rare event for a young tech company, which is a $1 billion valuation. We just, we're not seeing $1 billion startups at the rate that we started to see as of last year. 2021 was just a really bananas year for venture-backed startups across the world that had a $1 billion valuation, almost 600 startups indeed had that number. we have fallen quite a bit just year. Only 308 startups across the U.S. have reached unicorn status in 2022. In the U.S., it's down to less than 200 were minted. Compare that to last year, where 340 unicorn deals in the U.S. Took place. And so what we're seeing is a lot fewer companies kind of reach this unicorn level. And there's a lot of, you know, sort of reasons for that. One is you have to look at the public markets.
Right.
You know, companies that are raising funding at, you know, billion-dollar valuations are typically companies that are headed to go public. Well, public
no one's going public.
Stumbled. Exactly. No one's going public. So, we're going to kind of have to see what 2023 lends. PitchBook, a venture database that tracks these stats, is really kind of cautioning folks that, hey, the numbers that we have started to see over the last 2 years are going to continue to fall. The good news is that we're still seeing more, startups hit this unicorn valuation than we saw in 2019 and 2018. So we're outpacing pre-pandemic levels. Now, what does 2023 have in store in terms of, hey, are we going to continue to outpace pre-pandemic levels, or does a potential looming recession affect things even more starkly? So we're going to have to see where the tech economy goes from there. But one thing is for certain, unicorns are way down in 2022.
All right. Jim Dahlke, national editor, American Inno, ChicagoInno.com. Good to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks, John.
All right. Let's get a look at from Schwani at the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The Food and Drug Administration has approved Abbott's Eterna spinal cord stimulation system for the treatment of chronic pain. It's the smallest implantable rechargeable spinal cord stimulator available. It can recharge wirelessly as few as 5 times per year. We have a gift regarding gas prices. They continue to fall. GasBuddy's survey showed average gas prices fell 17.5 cents a gallon last week, averaging $3.40 per gallon. That's 80 cents lower than a month ago. GasBuddy surveyed 1,437 stations around Chicago. Twitter CEO Elon Musk put a question to users over the weekend. Should he step down as head of the company? More than half of the 17.5 million respondents said yes. No word on whether Musk plans to leave. That's your Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Dave Schwann.
And now the business of food, Steve Alexander.
Yep, and we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Gee golly, wasn't it great to see the sun after all those days of gloom? And it is during these days, leading up to the holidays, we often hear talk about seasonal affective disorder and the depression and hopelessness that come with it. You know, we tend to believe that this time of year is when most suicides happen. No, April, May, and June are the peak months, and this is not breaking news. We've known this for years, but fatalities are most often farmers.
Men who work in agriculture do have a higher suicide rate based on the best available data than men not involved in agriculture. However, that doesn't hold true for females.
Her name is Josie Ridolfi.
I'm an assistant professor and extension specialist at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign.
Her research at the U of I was looking for common causes of farmer suicides.
We were expecting to see financial problems emerge, maybe job problems. They really didn't. And so what's really perplexing about this is that we don't feel like we have a really good understanding of what potential risk factors are, meaning these events might be coming really abruptly and unexpectedly, which of course makes it really challenging to intervene.
And from a prevention aspect, there's a supply chain problem.
We know that most counties in the state are classified as a mental health shortage area, meaning we don't have the providers to meet the need.
Any suggestions, Josie, on what we should do if we see somebody or know somebody who's struggling?
We say approach somebody with care and come from a place of caring. Don't shy away from the subject. And so a great way to start a conversation is to say, I'm concerned about you. I've noticed X, Y, and Z, and I want to help you. And giving somebody the space to hopefully express how they're doing and what they're going through.
It's easier than ever to call for help, 988. And
our website is farmstress.org. We have over 110 farm specific resources. We really encourage people to get on there, peruse, and find what might help them.
farmstress.org. From the farm to your belly, today's National Oatmeal Muffin Day. It's also a National Hard Candy Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
All right, 720 WGN, the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is a really cool concept that's happening in Naperville. Of course, inflation is high. Holiday gifts are high right now to buy. They're expensive. So why not utilize a Facebook group to help you out? Megan Kafsain joins us now, the founder of Buy, B-U-Y, Nothing, Naperville-Central. And Megan, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me.
What is it? How does it work?
What is the group? It is a great group. I learned about it from a friend of mine who lives in San Diego. It's worldwide, so I like really can't take any credit for starting. And I just started our little branch in Naperville. But my friend in college was visiting me in Naperville, and she was telling me how her husband had to go pick up her daughter's costume from a neighbor. And I was like, tell me more about this. How did this happen? And so I just started asking questions. I looked into it, and I was like, there's none in Naperville. This would be amazing. So I looked into starting one, and I did.
So what sort of connections are made on this page?
Well, I will say the pandemic kind of slowed some because the idea of it is to build the neighborhood connection and the neighborly, help. It's more than just, getting a cup of sugar from your neighbor. Like if there's a service that you need, maybe your neighbor is an electrician and, they can come help you look at something or, give you advice on, knitting or whatever it might be. Like maybe you bake some extra cookies. People post cookies. So it's about getting to know your neighbors and building that connection that might not be made if it weren't for common goods.
Is it also usable for, like, finding gifts, right? Like, I think if there's any way we could say it, is it a matter of, hey, I have this thing that I loved, but it's outrun its usefulness for me. Maybe someone would like to have this as a gift or give this as a gift to someone else?
Absolutely. We have members that will post, anything. There is a member who recently got all of her 3-year-old Christmas gifts from the Buy Nothing page, and it's I think she did a little posting and said something like, I'm looking for toys for my 3-year-old. These are his interests. And people fulfilled it. I actually, for my 2-year-old, just got him like a little workbench with all of the like plastic tools. And so it really, it's not exclusive to only toys. People have gifted animals. If they're, like have a turtle that they did. A woman recently posted a litter of kittens that her cat had. So really it's whatever.
So this is not the marketplace. So there's not a price associated with this. This is not it's called Buy Nothing. So there you go.
Yeah. No, there's no prices. And we try to encourage people to not resell things, because we do want it to be giving from your own abundance. And, we're not selling it to you. So it's kind of, counterproductive to then go sell it to someone else.
Yeah, this isn't a channel for you to get your eBay pricings up, right? This is for legitimate uses. What about like things like I want a tree last minute, Christmas tree. Does anyone know how to put up the lights? Stuff like that too?
100%. If someone is looking for something there was a tornado that came through Naperville and a mom needed help with it. She had the tree cut down, but she needed some chainsaws and some manpower. And I happened to send my husband over because he had a chainsaw. So, yeah, really anything you're looking for, as long as it's, within the laws and, doesn't hurt anybody. Yeah, whatever. Looking for anything.
Man, you mentioned a tornado. What about this week? Boy, oh, boy, people might need some help with maybe shoveling the driveway, boy, or anything along those lines. I lost power. I'm out of milk. This could be a real big resources for something coming up. I'm almost jealous that it's in Naperville, but they're everywhere, aren't they?
They are everywhere. And we have 3 in Naperville, but I know that like there's Aurora has them. I know the first one when I started the Naperville one, Elk Grove had them. They're in pockets all over the city too, the city of Chicago. So they're really everywhere. I would just encourage somebody to look on Facebook, do a search and see if they have it in your area.
Right. And I know there's a lot of neighborhood groups, but this is not one that's designed for saying, I saw some kids on the street the other day. Yeah, were none of that, right?
No. Yeah, we just try to stick to, the gifts of time and service and, asking for things. So, yeah.
All right. So you go to Buy Nothing Naperville-Central. That's if you live in Central Naperville. If you want to find one of these in your area, you can go to buynothingproject.org, BUYNothingProject.org. It's useful all year round. Could be very useful this week. Megan, thanks for sharing this with us, okay?
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Great way to save a little bit of money and you connect with some neighbors too. Boy, that's great.